David Trainer, the founder and president of New Constructs, is here. And today, we're looking at what went wrong.
What could possibly go wrong?
With some of his picks from 2019. This is The Danger Zone. Welcome to The Danger Zone, everyone. This is, of course, where we talk every week with experts from New Constructs. And New Constructs, a data firm founded and developed by David Trainer, and it evaluates securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous, and typically we are looking at the dangerous ones. It comes up with its analysis basically by using forensic accounting meets cash flow analysis and digging in at the bottom of the footnotes and working their way up so that periodically it finds out that something that people think looks good on the surface, well, it doesn't necessarily look so good when you dig in at the grassroots level. But this week and next week, we are reviewing Danger Zone picks from 2019. Today, we can sum up the ones we're going to be talking about this way. Yep, there are a couple that didn't go right. But that doesn't mean that they're great stocks and that David was completely out of the realm. It just means that thinking that it was going to be in the danger zone, that bad things would happen, didn't necessarily turn out that way. David, however, is not somebody that's afraid to be wrong.
I'm never wrong!
Nope, he's happy to admit to it, so he's here to talk about it. And if you want more information, newconstructs.com, on Twitter, at newconstructs, and they blog about their danger zone picks, including about the ones we're talking about today. So next week, winners, David Trainer, Happy New Year, welcome back to the show. Yeah, we got to start on a down note, don't we?
That's right, Chuck. We're not afraid to be wrong, especially when you're talking about shorting or selling and you've got all these tailwinds. And I think, you know, an administration, you know, in the White House, the Capitol building, I talk all the time with our institutional clients about how, especially what we're seeing with respect to earnings distortion being at all-time highs, nobody in a public position wants to be on record for busting the bubble. They're going to do whatever they can to kick the can down the road and keep the party going, right? I mean, you know, we know the current president feels like the stock market is his ally, and to lose that would potentially be devastating to his reelection chances. So with that in mind and all this sort of additional easing and Fed support, you're going to continue to see what we call these micro bubbles. And, for example, low light number one, Tesla. We've been bearish on Tesla for a long time. Over all of 2019, we would have helped you make some money on that because it was up 25% while the S&P was up 29% over the year. But
yeah,
from the point we reiterated our Tesla short position or danger zone position on July 29th, it was up 77% while the S&P was up 7%. Not so good.
No, no. Unfortunately, that one, yeah. But let's also be honest. Tesla has a lot of things in it that help it defy gravity, doesn't it? You know, we're always talking about how hard it is to come up with a catalyst. Tesla is one, along with maybe some cannabis stocks and some other things that are kind of goofy, that has diehard believers who it seems like it's going to take a lot to ever get them to back away, right?
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely a couple of these stocks that have been able to levitate or maintain a disconnection from reality for a very extended period of time. And it's sort of like once they enter sort of the twilight zone, really, where fundamentals don't matter, they stay there for a long time. And I think people have to convince themselves that fundamentals don't matter or some other version of fundamentals, which, you know, like adjusted EBITDA are what matter. And they don't want to be, they don't have to believe that they're wrong, right? So they want to continue believing that they're right, which means they fall into the confirmation trap, which is what a lot of people every day fall into, which is I'm going to look at the confirming information at the expense of non-confirming information. Because, again, who wants to be wrong? Not many people are willing to be wrong. But when you're as wrong as we are about certain things, you know, there's no reason to hide it. I don't want people to think that we're not willing to be honest and transparent about our wins and our losses. And so Tesla did not do well for us in the second half of the year, did very well in the first half of the year. The takeaway, though, is that it's still in the danger zone. Whatever you think about the company, and I'm not arguing that it's a bad company. In fact, since they've recently generated positive free cash flow, albeit that came entirely from cost cutting and mainly in R&D, which means they're not going to be as likely probably to be able to innovate and grow the way they said they're going to grow. Whatever you want to say, yeah, it's profitable. It's a good product. I like to always tell people you should absolutely buy it. You're getting it below cost because investors are subsidizing that car for you at the cost that you can get it now. But the takeaway as an investor, not a consumer, but as an investor, this stock has got a long way to fall. The expectations baked into this future stock price are for this company to be many multiples more profitable than GM has ever been, and to maintain that profitability for a significant amount of time. It's absolutely ridiculous. To put a number on it, to justify $480 a share, they have to grow profits at 50%, compounded annually for 15 years.
Wow.
So whatever you think about the company, the valuation is out of control, and you'd be well suited to take profits now.
Right. It keeps working against gravity. At some point, gravity does tend to come back and work, and you're still saying it's going to work on this one. And again, I suspect you reiterated your pick on Tesla in the middle of the year back in July. I suspect we may see Tesla in the danger zone again in the not-too-distant future, given those numbers. Your second pick, you published in February, Brooks Automation, BRKS. That also didn't quite work out. What went wrong there?
Accounting earnings kept going up, and we think people are paying attention to accounting earnings. You know, the economic earnings kept going down. You know, this is one of those where companies can continually misrepresent themselves for a while, and it's hard to know. Like, we've got this new earnings distortion score. Every week we're highlighting a handful of stocks that are the most likely to beat or miss as a new product for this earnings season. Brooks Automation is probably going to end up on that list whenever they're reporting, because the accounting earnings are continually distorted by non-operating items as well as a growing balance sheet. And it just looks like the investors have yet to wake up and smell the coffee. When that happens, ding-dong, the witch is dead. But as Enron showed and other companies have showed in the past, if they put their mind to it, they can overstate earnings for a long time. But the bigger they are, the harder they can fall, as we saw with Enron, right? I mean, they overstated for a long time. The stock went way up, but the reckoning was rough.
So Brooks Automation, BRKS, still believe there's a reckoning coming there. And then the third, Teladoc, also published early in the year. It's been up by about 30% since then, I believe. And so what happened there that Teladoc didn't work out?
Yeah, up 33% with the S&P's up just 14%. This is a situation where the investors are willing to buy the company's line on adjusted EBITDA. That looks good, but profits look bad. And we've even put adjusted EBITDA itself in the danger zone. It is one of the most misleading metrics. What makes Teladoc even more concerning to us is that executive compensation is tied to adjusted EBITDA. It's one of the most easily manipulable metrics with clearly no link to shareholder value. So that's just a ticking time bomb. I mean, this is what Valiant wanted everyone to pay attention to, an adjusted EBITDA that took out all kinds of expenses. And it looks like, again, investors have not yet woken up to smell the coffee. I can't tell you when people are going to wake up, Chuck. It's not like bears hibernate, wake up in the spring. There's no real schedule as to when investors decide to hold companies accountable, especially since we're in this momentum-driven market these days. If all people want to pay attention to is momentum and headline numbers, groupthink can last for a long time.
It sure can. And of course, we know that you think differently. We also know that although you're acknowledging today some things where the market didn't work for you, well, you're going to come back next week and we will talk about ones where this will not be our sounder. Nope, we'll be talking about the ones that are correct and that worked out in your favor next week. And of course, we think that the odds are always in our favor when we're talking with you. Thanks so much for all you did for us in 2019. Look forward to more of it in 2020.
Thank you, Chuck. Absolutely.
That's David Trainer, everybody. He is president of New Constructs. Get more information at newconstructs.com, on Twitter at New Constructs. And remember, they blog about their danger zone picks. They have blogged now about their danger zone failures. So you can get more information on what happened with Brooks and Teladoc and Tesla at the site now. And of course, next week, the winners. Up next on Money Life, Stephen McKee will be here. It's market call time. We'll be talking about funds when we come back in just a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.